Isaiah the prophet said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They said to him, "Why then are you baptizing? If you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet." John answered them, saying, "I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing, in our text today. The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who is higher ranked than I, for he existed before me. I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your truth. And Lord, as we contemplate the things that is laid out before us today, and as we see the just the glorious work that you have done for us, that you are going to do for us in this text, Lord, we pray that you would help us. As in the text, Lord, help us to get real with you. Lord, I know, and you know, and everybody else knows that this text is too high and holy for me. So I pray that you take over this vessel, that we may see Jesus, that we may see him in a deeper and brighter light than ever before, that maybe we see him for the first time as we look to you, as we think about all the songs that we have sang in preparation, Lord, to be taught by you by the power of the Holy Spirit of truth. We pray that we continue to worship you in all of your goodness, in all of your mercy, in all of all your promises fulfilled in the Old Testament. And now help us, Lord, as we dive into these things, that you may prepare us to make way for the Lord, that we came in today with a desire to hear from our God, desire to be challenged by our God, strengthened by our God, convicted by our God, strengthened by our God, that we may stand firm on the truth that you have written in your word, that you have given us, and may it be a truth that we are proclaiming every day to our very soul. Lord, help us today. Our desire, Lord, is that we may have a proper view of you and continue to treasure you and grow in being captivated by you. Be overwhelmed by your presence. Lord, that we may look upon you and see you. Help us, Lord, this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I have studied to show myself approved unto the Lord, and I'm giving everything else that I have done and labor to unpack these things to him, as they do every time each preacher ever stands in the presence of the Scriptures, in the presence of God. We are to surrender unto him. Last week, we left with some probing questions to ourselves. And asking these probing questions is, who are we? What do we say about ourselves? Why do we do what we do? And who really gets the credit or the glory? As we have seen in the John the Baptist proclaiming that he is a mere voice, and that he is pointing constantly, as he has in the first chapter, in this first part that we just read, he has declared who Christ is, pointing people to Christ, to him. He had his testimony of himself. This week, we'll be looking at John's testimony of the Christ. And I want you to think about this past week as the excavation part of the Holy Spirit has been tearing down our mountain. Where any improper way of thinking about who we are, or improper way of thinking about who he is that as we have a too high view even this day of ourselves and a too low a view of him, because we look at our lives and see our need of him to be able to answer these questions, pointing to him all the time. So my view of him is, I know for a fact today is too low of him. May you be there with me. Because if we have exalted this area right here, we wouldn't be here, now would we? But there is coming a day that we will be able to look upon our Christ face to face as the text that we'll have today. But our challenge as Christians, as we left last week and being a character witness of what Christ has done in us, the character witness of the Scriptures that we have before us today, that we rang true that Jesus Christ is our God. Jesus Christ is our King. Jesus Christ is the one that we are to look about. Jesus Christ is the one we'll see face to face. And the day that we came to true salvation is the day when we saw Jesus face to face, spiritually speaking. Because if we have not seen him face to face, we do not know him. And he shows us who he is in this pictorial that we have here of John the Apostle telling John the Baptist's testimony. And that we know that, as we went over last week, I want to just remind some that wasn't here, as we looked about it last week, we remember in Luke chapter 1, verse 80, that after Zacharias had prophesied about John the Baptist, after that, after he was circumcised, he prophesied, he regained his voice back, being able to prophesy, John went off into the wilderness, into the deserts for 30 years. As a Jew would see it, to the desert until he became a man at the age of 30. That's how they would view that. That's why John the Baptist nor Christ didn't come any earlier. Because they would recognize him as a man, a mature man. But we also know that 30 years later, John shows back up on the scene. John the Baptist shows back up on the scene, and he's preaching repentance in the desert. And people have not heard anything from God for 400 years. And there's such an excitement there. John is just being a voice. He says, make way the way of the Lord. Make his path clear. Tear down those mountains of pride. Build up your view of him. Live a life in a manner that is worthy of the gospel. This is our God, and this is our view of Him that needs to be increased. Those low places need to be brought up. Need to be brought up. Because when we look to Jesus face to face, it will change our life forevermore. And when we look away, it will diminish our view of Him. But we must keep Jesus in our face the rest of our life, looking at what He has done, that we live a life of repentance. And though we see John here in Matthew chapter 3, we see him preaching the gospel of repentance, which I said last week, you don't hear much of that in the pulpits today. But it doesn't matter about what's going on in the other pulpits today. What matters today is you getting real with God and you repenting of your view of Him is too low, and the mountain that you have over there on the other side is way too high. Amen? Because that's what we want, isn't it? If we're treasuring this Christ, this is our desire, is that we'd have more of Him. The more we want of Him, the more we're going to tear down this mountain of self and selfishness and self. It's all about self over here. As we tear that down, it's building up, you know. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. In this text that we have right now, I tell you, it's 40 days after John had baptized Jesus. Jesus came to him, said, suffer it to be so, to fulfill all righteousness. God's promises has never been cut short or changed. So after his baptism, Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist, He goes on to in the wilderness for 40 days. So it's 40 days plus when we arrive on this scene, which John telescopes us out to see the witness of John the Baptist, witness of Jesus. John the Baptist is continually pointing to Christ, pointing to Christ, pointing to Christ. We have a couple more witnesses in this text as well. When you bring in Matthew chapter 3, we have the Holy Spirit's witness. We have God the Father's witness. And again, we conclude with John the Baptist's witness, a testimony that this is the God of glory, the Son of God. That'll change our lives. It has changed our lives, and it continues to change our lives. Do you know what you've done? Have you looked at the things that was read this morning? Have you heard the songs that we sung today? We know what we deserve. We don't deserve Him, but yet we have received Him, which brings up, it continues to bring up that low view of Him. But now we see, after 40 days of the wilderness being ministered by the angels, we see this on the next day as John, the apostle, telescopes us out to see this. And as I was telling Brother Jared, the biggest challenge I have right now is just really a three-letter word connected to the name of Jesus. The next day, he saw. He saw Jesus. Could you imagine the atmosphere after 400 years of silence? After 400 years of silence and after John's coming to baptize, after the snakes, the religious folks went home without an answer except for John just saying that he's a mere voice. You imagine bringing that answer back to the religious folks? Well, he says he's not the Christ. He's not Elijah. He's not the prophet. He just says he's a voice. Would you bring that message back to those people who want to unpack everything that you say and do? But when we think about this God and the mercy of God, we look at this testimony as we have a testimony. As we have been challenged last week, we will continue to be challenged today. He saw the excitement, even though it's been a 40 days plus, the excitement is still there. There's even more people there. And out of nowhere, in the exact right time, Jesus came walking through the crowd. I know John knows who he is. Have you ever been in the crowd? Well, husbands and wife will know this, and siblings will know this too. If you're in a big crowd and either your husband or wife is over there, you can spot them out in a big crowd. Or even your brother or sister or a longtime friend, you'll be able to spot them out. Now, when Jesus shows up, he saw Jesus coming to him. When he's coming to him, the crowd is not splitting open, right? And all the doves are flooding around him, or a big halo or anything like that. We read in Isaiah 53, there was nothing about him that would cause us to look to him, except he was the Lamb of God. And we see that he saw Jesus coming to him out of the midst of the crowd. And I believe, just like Peter saw in the eyes of Jesus, and he asked the question, "Peter, do you love me?" He looked right in the eyes of Christ. Have you ever looked into the eyes of Jesus? The title, it may change, but the title I have now is Seeing Jesus. He saw Jesus coming to him. And the only reply, the only thing that he can do at this time was to say, "Behold, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, if you're a believer in Christ, all of your sin is paid for on what's going to happen. And here, we know what happens. Jesus satisfied holy justice. All of your sin has been paid for. Not some of it, but all of it. This will change your life. Because when you get a proper view of him, when you are beholding the Lamb of God, when you think about what has been done for you, the mountain over here, the mountain of self, the mountain of self, the mountain of self will be torn down in the view of Jesus coming up. Why? Because he paid for all of my sin. This is our testimony. This is what we live out. He's tearing down the mountains. He's bringing up the low spot, the low views of Christ. We bring up this thing. Why? Because do you know what I've done? And man, we need to really remember where we came from. Don't forget where you came from. Don't live there, but don't forget where you came from. The voice is speaking. Behold. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Are you beholding him? I'm not interested in getting through the sermon today. We will get through it. But I especially want to love him more before I leave. Cherish him more, treasure him more, have more of him and less of myself in the world, of the world, in my life. And I hope this is your desire. If not, this will be very boring to you. If it is, praise the Lord, because all he's saying to do is to look. Look, beholding means look, and it's imperative. It's not a suggestion, but you think about Jesus walking through the crowd that very next day. He saw him coming up to him. He says, behold, he commands us to look upon the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. May we never get bored at looking at Christ. May we never have more of the world that cause us to look to something else to find joy, comfort, or peace. May we truly die to ourselves. Why? Because the mountain is being torn down even as we speak right now. Don't you want the mountain in your life taken away? I'm not the mountain of sin. I'm talking about the mountain of your self-preservation. Your mountain of self, self, self. Yes, I've said it again. This is the domineering fact that if we're going to treasure Christ, if we're going to look unto him, or we're going to behold him, it means to look. You looked one time, you continue to look, and you never stop looking. You never stop beholding the King of Glory. Why? Because each day that you are in Him, He shows you your need of Him. And as He shows you your need of Him, He shows you the sin that you still do. He shows you the sin that He's already paid for. He shows you the sin that He's paid for in full. And that's why you have a new problem with sin. You hate it. And that's why the mountain will always be on this earth, right? The mountain of self-preservation, or it's not that bad, will always be too high. As that is trimmed down, we look and behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, not just the Jews, but us Gentiles, who are now made Jews, by the way. Being circumcised without hands is a true Jew. All we have to do is look upon this Lamb. You think about the Jews, they knew what was taking place. We have the Passover coming up where we celebrate the Passover. What was the Passover? Man, Jesus Christ is our Passover Lamb. Amen. Jesus Christ, because God the Father looks at the blood of Jesus Christ. He's able to pass over us. He takes our sin away, pays for them in debt. Are you tired of looking at Jesus? Or would you rather look at the TV? Oh my! How these things should be challenging unto us. How should be challenged? Don't delay. Don't delay. Do not procrastinate. I'll do it tomorrow. No, look unto Jesus, all the earth, and be ye saved, as was a simple text that Charles Spurgeon was transformed into the kingdom of God, brought into the kingdom of God, as Isaiah 45:22. And I will tell you this, that the preacher there was not elegant. The preacher there had one thing to say. Look. That's what the scripture said. Look unto the Lamb of God. Look unto Him and be ye saved. There was no power in the God that stood up that particular day. Right? There is one thing you must know. If you're not exempt from the truth, if the preacher didn't deliver it correctly. Amen? You're not exempt from the truth. If it's truth, you're not exempt from it, period. Whether you like the style of the preacher or the way that he does it or the way that he handles it, we must look unto Jesus and not the preacher. He's a mere voice. And again, at this time, imagine the shock of the people at the time. All these thousands of people hanging around. He said, John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They knew what that was. They knew that at the Passover, the 10th plague, He came. Jesus said, slay a lamb in the picture of Christ to come. Slay a lamb in the morning and the evening, and all the other sacrifices that were made boiled down to this. Jesus is our Passover lamb. Jesus is our Paschal Lamb of God. Why? Because He satisfied holy justice, and God is able to look over us by the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you tired of looking at Him? And I say to myself when I say that, how dare you look at something else? Amen. We must be there. Do you know what was done in our behalf? Man, sometimes we get a whole lot of head knowledge. It could be just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin and the whole group of them. Be very religious, but our life says, I know Him not. Our witness proclaims, I want a little bit, that way just satisfy everything, God get off my back and everything. I wish I had a higher view, but I'll not go out of my way to get it. My goodness, we all have a part of that in us, whether it be big or little. That mountain's still there, and it's still being torn down. And as we continue to grow, and look at this, the household, the doorposts and all that was spread over with blood, covered with blood, like the mercy seat being sprinkled for the last time by the blood of Jesus Christ. It says, satisfied, 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 satisfied. holy justice, holy wrath is satisfied with the blood of the living God applied. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Look unto him. Look. And they're thinking to themselves, well, we have the Passover feast coming up. We have a feast coming up where we're going to slaughter some lambs. They knew what John was saying. And it was shock. I believe they would be in shock at the time. One lamb forevermore? Hey, aren't you glad of that? Jesus doesn't have to stand up and perform any more ceremonies. He did it right the first time. Being the God-man, Christ is our substitutionary sacrifice, innocent as he was, a lamb. You know, a lamb doesn't have muscles and ain't known for fighting or being, a lamb is just weak and feeble and just ain't much there. Now take a picture of that. The physical lamb had nothing about them. They were required to be perfect as Christ had to be perfect, that which makes us perfect with him. Amen. Now you hear that? We're made perfect with him. Did you see your sin? Are you beholding God? Look at these things. What kind of witness do you bring to yourself? What are we beholding? What are we looking at? What is it that we want? John is pointing us in his testimony that this Lamb, this God, is the one to look to. In John's gospel, the lamb is only mentioned twice. Chris would be excited to know that in the book of Revelation, it's mentioned 28 times. We'll see a lot of that there. May we never get tired. May we say to ourselves, Lord, help me, my view's too low. Lord, when I think about all that I've done, all the sin that has taken place in my life, even my view of you from yesterday, when I got mad and was basically telling you, you're not doing it right. I'm building up over here the mountain. It should be being torn down. When I'm showing myself, it's all about me, me, me. That mountain's being built back up while this is being, oh, may it never be. When we build ourselves up, we're tearing down our view of Christ. It must be this Christ and his display of meekness, gentleness, and peace. First Peter tells us, while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that he might die to sin, that we might die to sin and live righteousness, and to live righteousness, for by his wounds we are healed, for we were continually straying like sheep. Now we have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of our souls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a Savior. All of these accounts in the Old Testament point strictly to Christ. May we never get tired of it. May we continually look upon him and all that he is. John is saying as his witness, as he's saying these things, as we get into to verse 30, he keeps saying these things. The God of glory here, the Lamb of God is here who takes away the sin of the world. And he's telling all these people that have been baptized and come to him for baptism, that's been hanging around, and they're hearing him, and John's causing them, like we should, to look to Christ. John shows us what that means to be a lover of Jesus Christ. We take the picture off of us. We take the looking off of us and point them to Christ, for he is the I Am. Last week we had he is here. Doesn't mean he was in the crowd at the time, but he was in Nazareth preparing himself to come when we had that last week. Now he is here. Now he has come, and they're looking to Jesus face to face. One of the things that we'll see, as mentioned in the book of Revelation, is there's something that happens when that all that is spoken about. The people fall on their face and worship him, the Lamb of God, the King of glory. They worship him. John 30 said, "This is he on behalf of whom I've said, after me comes a man who is higher ranked than I. He existed before me. I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifest to Israel, I came baptizing in water." John said, "Don't look at me. I'm just washing in water. It's on the outside. This is the God that's coming, who I did not recognize him." Now, there's different views about this, but "I did not recognize him. Yes, I jumped in the womb when he was in the other womb, if the excitement is his coming. And then I didn't see Jesus for 30 years. And like I said, there's different views on this. And then all of a sudden I'm seeing him again at his baptism. And he knows then. I didn't recognize him before. Now I know why. Because he has a testimony of God. We have a testimony in our hand. He pre-existed. He is the God of glory. He is superlative in all that he is. We see that John is saying, "I come baptizing you with water. There's one mightier than myself that comes so that you may be able to look upon this Christ." He came that we may see Christ in all that he is. We see that in the scripture, verse 15, he has testified about him in John 1. Bringing these scriptures here to scripture, interpret scripture. So this is what we're doing right this present moment. In John 1:15, it testified about him, cried out saying, "This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank, for he existed before me." 27, "He is the who comes after me, whose thong, sandal, I'm not worthy to untie." You remember that last week when we look at the preeminence of Christ and the superlative and supreme being in John's life that we see here in this part. And that is, it's a glorious thing when we think about, we believe people, we have two or three witnesses. We see that in Deuteronomy, right? This is God's witness of him. Why would we look somewhere else? This is God's witness of his grace, his mercy, his satisfying substitutionary atonement. This is him. John is again testifying about Christ. This is the one that's always been in John's life. Look to him, look to him, look to him. Not unto me, but look to him, as same as every preacher should be saying, look unto him. The only responsibility a preacher has is to give the truth. So we see John's testimony. Now we see the Spirit's testimony in verse 32 and 33. John testifies saying, "I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of the heaven and remained upon him. I did not recognize my cousin was going to be the Messiah," paraphrasing, "but he who sent me to baptize in water in preparation of repentance through this baptismal watering of the repentance in that way," he says, "to whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is one who baptized you with the Holy Spirit." Do you see that? And God's testimony agrees with the testimony in so many ways. And when we don't believe the Bible, when we don't believe his word, we call him a liar. And you say to yourself, "I will never call him a liar." Well, why do you do the things that you do? God's not smaller than anything on this earth, is he? But you think about what's happening at the baptism that now is being spoken of here in the past tense. He goes, John is saying, "I have testified saying," right? "I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove," meaning like a dove. It's not a physical dove. The whole thing is that the Spirit of God is dwelling on Christ and remained on Christ. I bear witness of that. I see that in Scripture. I'm telling you this took place. Now, how many more witnesses do you need to believe, to look? Yeah, the Holy Spirit of God that's looking, that is showing us the confirmation of Matthew chapter 3. He saw this. Could you imagine being there that day? As John was trying to push it off of him, man, I deserve to be baptized by you, not me baptizing you. Seeing this picture that he's given us, that we see this picture that the glory of God, the heavens opened up and the glory of God came down and rested upon his son. And I saw it, and I'm here to tell you this happened. This took place. Do you believe it? He'll get wrap that up here in just a minute. So we see John's testimony of Christ. We see the Holy Spirit's testimony of Christ. Right? Why? Because the Spirit came and remains on him forevermore. He never did not have the Spirit. He was always God, so don't get too crazy about that. John says, quit looking to me and look to him. Verse 16, it tells us, we'll see the witness of God the Father. Listen to this. After being baptized in Matthew chapter 3, 16, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened up and saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Have you ever heard that verse before? We have. We have a lot of texts that we have heard. But I wonder sometimes we forget these powerful verses upon our lives. Do you believe Scripture? I mean, all of it, all 66 books and all the ink on them, except yours. Do you believe that? Well, if you believe that, there's no reason that you shall not believe God spoke from heaven and said to the people and to John, all the who have ears to hear, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we see that Mount Transfiguration where he says, hear he him. Hear him. Listen to him. Look upon him, hear him, apply him, rejoice in him, because this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of all the world. This means not just the Jews, but the Gentiles only. Isn't that wonderful news here today? What are you looking to? The Holy Spirit of God resting upon Jesus, confirmed in the Scripture. The heavens open up and speak to him. Does he speak to you? Not audibly, but through his word. What are you looking upon? His word? Verse 33, listen to this right here. It goes even further. It says, I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. We have a picture of regeneration right here. It's not baptism regeneration by no means. That's a work salvation. I'm not even there, so take that away. Right? We're talking about the power of God. When he takes out that Spirit and gives you a new Spirit, we will see that in future. When we get to John and we talk about Ezekiel 36, verses 20 to 25, and we see that is the power of God where he changes you from within. John's doing the washing at the outside. Jesus is doing the washing from the inside. He baptized us in the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't want you to forget that you must always tag on when you hear the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit of truth is not going to lie to you. The Holy Spirit of truth is going to say truth in your life to you. And that's what true Christians want when they have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what they want. They want truth to be spoken to them by God through his word and giving them the power to turn away, tear down their mountain. Whatever is too high or too tall or too big, right? Tear that down and look upon him. You know, your finances today is not bigger than God. You are going to die. I've had a lot of people I know, 52 and younger, in the last month die. None of them plan to die that I know of. And I'm not asking you to plan to die either, because that'd just be fire insurance, and we don't do that here because it doesn't exist. Amen? But the power of God, when he changes you from within, right, and he baptizes you with the Holy Spirit, you want to go there. Why? Because you want to see your Jesus face to face, amen, and stay with him forevermore and not battle with sin any longer. That is our desire, and I hope it is for you. Have you looked upon the Lamb? Have you looked? Are you still looking? We must look. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we see the witness of God the Father. So what else is that? What else do you need at this time to live a life unto him? You've already had the Bible several years in our lives, and yet we rather look at something else. Even if it's not a gross sin, you know yourself there's times that you get caught up with the busyness of stuff and runs you off, and that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. He wants to build you to build your mountain here. It's all about you, man. It's you, when it should be all about him. Him and him living that life, tearing this down, building up our view of him, treasuring Christ forevermore. What is it that you want? What is it that you desire? And I know that each one of us want to say, I want more of him, less of me. And then there's some that won't even look unto his word till next Sunday. And I was that guy for a while until God changed that guy. Whatever you are beholding, we are doing a study on Wednesday night, treasuring Christ. Whatever you are beholding is what you'll become. And that'll be your witness of your view of him. It'll tell the tale. When Kurt read Isaiah 53, were you listening? I hope you were reading along with him. Behold the Lamb. When we sang that song, were you listening and looking at the words? Behold the Lamb. These people in the background at this time that was taking place, they were getting right with the Lord. We'll take just a minute here, just a minute. We're almost done. To maybe there's something in your life that the mountain in your life is way too big of self. And our view of him, your view of him may be too low. And I would say yes and amen, because still too much in my life and not enough of him. I want that. But when we come to him, and we hear John's last testimony when he says this, John the Apostle saying this of John the Baptist, and said this, I myself, John the Baptist, have testified, well, I myself have seen. Why did he have seen? He's seen because he looked. And it's a look that lasts forever, far beyond your first look at your wife or your husband. Far beyond that, much deeper. But you know what that look was. She's mine. She's right back there. She's mine. So we see, we know what that is. When you looked at your husband or your wife for the first time, you know what that look is. And you know the first time that you looked at Christ. And it changed everything. When you saw Jesus coming to you, it changed everything, because he's the one that baptizes you with the Holy Spirit and fire, a zeal. Don't forget that fire, a zeal of the Lord. It was the simple words that look unto him and be saved, that Spurgeon that we read and have many commentaries on. Right, but we see it was the little words, just a little word that tore down that mountain of self. And he humbled himself and he looked and believed. Do you think Christ can wash away all your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Do you think he can make you whole? Yes. Looking unto him. We see the witness of John again about Christ, the Holy Spirit's witness about who Christ is, the confirmation of the Holy Spirit dwelling on him, staying there, the Father's witness, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Then again, we finish it with this testimony. I myself have seen it and have testified that this is the Son of God. Now, when you hear that and you look at a mountain over here and a valley over here, where does that fall at? He's saying to look upon the one, the king, look upon the triumph one, the majestic one, the exalted one, the ruler of all rulers. Behold the Lamb of God, the anointed one. Look upon him and be ye saved. For we are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as a lamb unblemished, spotless blood of Christ. And I hope you leave here today beholding him. Beholding him, not your troubles. You're always going to have those. You know what they do? Your troubles make you look to him. Constantly looking unto him. So this day our challenge would be as we get prepared to come to take of the Lord's table here, the Lord's Supper, in remembrance of what Christ is going to do in John and what we know he has done, washing us from all of our sin. What else could we possibly be looking at? What can we find to be satisfied? For the Lamb of God was prophesied about, typified, personified, magnified, despised, crucified, and glorified. This is our Lamb. This is our Lamb. May we have a fresh look at him today. And may we examine ourselves to see who we are looking at. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your truth. We thank you, Lord, for just taking over this vessel, Lord, and giving us the truth. Lord, we just look at that in awe of your goodness. Lord, we still can't comprehend how that took place, but we don't understand all of it to the fullest depth. But we look upon you and we believe. We have no other argument. We have no other plead. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Help me to look upon you rightly. Lord, and I pray as we come to the table that it's for believers. It's those who have been washed in the blood of this Lamb that we come rejoicing at the work that you have done, even promised all the way from the garden, you will crush the head of the serpent. And you did that, and will complete it. Lord, we thank you for your promises and all the pictures that you've given us in the Old Testament. Lord, help us prepare ourselves to come to your table and rejoice in the representation of the flesh that was torn, in the representation of the blood that was spilt. And Hebrews said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So, Lord, we are able to come. But help us, Lord, first that we come in the right way, having a high and holy view of you, which gives us that view of the table, that we come in worship. the one true God. Help us, Lord, this day.